So meet us there in John 1, and Kyle, go ahead and lead us.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace." This is the Word of God.
Amen. It is good to see you today. I hope that you had a great Thanksgiving holiday. I hope your day was a great day at the Goen household. It was. It was a wonderful day. We ate way too much food. And there was still food left over a couple of days later. I mean, my goodness, we've figured out all kinds of ways to use Thanksgiving leftovers over the last couple of days. As our family gathered, we had family in town from Texas and Kentucky. We had people from come in, and it was good to be able to see everyone. Maybe you did this. I encourage you to try to remember this. We all got together around the table, or I guess around the little island there, and opened the Word, the Psalm 100, and read the 100th Psalm together. Gave thanks to the Lord for who he was or who he is and all that he has done. And we are so very thankful. You know, one of the things that we thank the Lord for, it wasn't a thing, it's people, for you. And I want to say to you as a church, I want to try to make some eye contact with you that my wife and I, we love this body. We are so, so thankful for you. This church is a blessing in our life, and we give thanks for you each and every morning. But the Lord heard us on Thanksgiving Day as we thank the Lord for you as a church. But we're making a turn now. And I'm still thankful for you, I want you to know, but we're moving into Advent season, my most favorite time of the year. I love this season. I've said before, I can listen to what we would call Christmas music all year long. Now, I want to be really careful here because I want to make sure that you understand me. I'm talking about music that talks about the advent of Christ coming, talking about the incarnation of Jesus. You know, Grandma got run over by a reindeer. I don't care anything about those things. You know, Jingle Bell Rock, I like it. But I'm talking about songs of the coming of Christ. That is on nonstop, and I love that. If you're new to LifePoint, or maybe you're new to church, and you're wondering, hey, what is all of this stuff that's happening? I've heard Advent now a couple of times. Advent that's the four Sundays and Christmas Eve prior to Christmas. And so we're joining in a celebration and a remembrance that for generations upon generations upon generations, Christians have gathered to remember and celebrate. Advent means the arrival or the coming. And so what we do during this time is we specifically remember the first Advent, the arrival of Christ coming as a baby, born in a manger. And we remember that. We celebrate that. But we also look forward to his second advent. You realize there's going to be a second arrival. We wait on that. When he comes again in power and glory, not as a baby, but as a warrior king. to reclaim the world, to take his children home. And so what we do here for the next four Sundays and on Christmas Eve, speaking of, I don't know if you caught that or if you came in late, excuse me, Christmas Eve for us this year is like always, it's on Christmas Eve, the 24th, but we've added a third service, 1:30, 3, and 4, 1:30, is that right? 1:30, 3, and 4:30, there it is. 1:30, 3, and 4:30. Mark those down. You're going to want to be a part of those. But we, each week, will come and we'll light one of these candles. We'll have a reading each week. And the candle doesn't do anything special. What the candle is all about is it reminds us that Jesus, the light of the world, and there's a different aspect. Today, it's the candle of hope. There's going to be a candle of peace, a candle of joy, a candle of love. On Christmas Eve, we'll light light the Christ candle. And then we'll have a time where we all will light each other's candles off of that one Christ candle to symbolize the light of the world. This is what we do. This is why we're doing this. Today, as we talk about a new series that is beginning, one of the things that I want you to hear thread throughout our message is this idea of hope. You know, there are people today who put their hope in a whole lot of things, a whole lot of possessions. They put their hope in money. They put their hope in family and people and politics. They put their hope in governments. But I'm here to tell you, as followers of Jesus Christ, we agree with the psalmist in Psalm chapter 20 verse 7 says this: some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Our only hope in life and death, not just the end of life, but in the middle of life today, is Jesus Christ. And I want to say to you, today as we talk about the things that we're going to talk about, as we introduce this new series, I want to be really, really clear. I say that each week because I do. Clarity means something to me. I don't want you leaving with a fog. What we're here for and why we're here is to remember Jesus Christ. Everything is about him. Everything is about him. And so this season, when we are fighting against consumerism, when we're fighting against Christmas movies, when we're fighting against all kinds of different things, and I'm not saying any of those are bad, but when they begin to take over and they crowd out Jesus. So what we do is we come and we light a candle of hope. We remember Jesus is our hope. This is why we're here. This is why we're called together. This new series is called War Cry because we do believe that there was a war cry that happened. Why did a war cry happen? Because there had to be a war plan. Why was there a war plan? Because there was a rebellion. And why was there a rebellion? It's because the enemy lied. That keeps on. You're going, Kyle, what are you talking about? Well, I want to redefine something for you just today. And each week we'll talk a little bit more about these types of things. You know, when Jesus was born in that manger and there was a cry, just like he was born, just like all the rest of us were. He was born in flesh as a human. And when that baby Jesus cried out, that was a war cry. That God in flesh had come, he had entered into the world, and that he was going to redeem mankind. He was going to redeem mankind. You would say, well, why does mankind even need redeeming? Well, that's a really good question. And I want to take just a brief moment. Turn back to the beginning of the Bible. Stick your hand there in John, but go back to Genesis. You remember in Genesis 1 that God created the world and everything that was in it. And it was all good. Genesis 2, you hone in on a family, a humankind, Adam and Eve, and that he created humankind. And then Genesis chapter 3, there is a rebellion that takes place. And that rebellion happens out of his two creation. The two people he created rebelled against God. He gave them one command, a loving command, that you have the entire garden, Here's a tree right here. We want you, this is yours to eat. As long as you eat all that you want of it, it's the tree of life. You're going to live forever. This one tree over here, the tree of knowledge and good and evil, do not eat from it. That is a loving command. Because when you do, you're choosing death. You will surely die. You're choosing death over life. Does that sound familiar when Joshua says, today I set before you life and death? Jesus said, you're going to die. And that there was a rebellion that happened by his own creation. Can you believe that? They walked with God, they talked with God, and they rebelled against him. Why? Because there was an enemy, Satan. Revelation calls him the great serpent, the great snake, the great dragon. But he came as a small little snake. Could have been a larger snake. But he came, and he spoke a lie. He caused them to believe a lie. And they rebelled against God. And when they ate the fruit, they rejected God's loving command. They rejected it. Turned their back on him. Chose death. And at that moment, sin entered the world and everything was broken. And this is why I have congestion today. This is why we have death, depression. This is why we have broken relationships. All of these things is because of that. Because of that. But here's what I want you to know is that in Genesis chapter 3, God looks at the snake after the rebellion, the serpent, and he says, listen, this is war. And there's going to be a day. There's going to be a lot of battles, but there's going to be a day at my own choosing, at the very right time, that my warrior child, who we know as Jesus, is going to crush your head. Look at Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. God is speaking to the snake, and he says, I will put enmity. Enmity means hostility. He says, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. Offspring of woman and offspring of the snake. And he says, and he shall bruise your head. That word bruise means crush. Crush. He says, he shall crush your head and you shall crush his heel. He says, listen, you're going to hurt his heel. You're going to snap at him, but it's going to be merely a flesh wound. But he is going to crush your head. This is the war. And I'm sending a warrior child. And when that child is born in a manger and he let out that cry, that was a war cry that the battle is on. So now in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 16, I want us to look at how John the Apostle, not John the Baptist, but how John the Apostle, how he defines this baby named Jesus, how he defines who this person is, how he defines who this man is. You know, there are four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are called the Synoptic Gospels because they give a synopsis of his life. The Gospel of John has often been called the soul of the Gospels because it lets us in on who Jesus really was. It pulls the curtain back on his soul. John wrote it as an older man. He is the disciple whom Jesus loved. They spent much time, so he knew Jesus, and now he gives us an idea, and he wants us to see. And there's going to be three names that he gives for Jesus in here that I want you to pick up on. The first one is this, is that he calls this warrior child the Logos, the Logos. In verses 1 through 3, he uses a word, the word, several times. And that word in the original language is Logos. He says he calls Jesus the Word, and the Word signifies all of who God is. He was the living Word. Where God spoke, he became the living Word. And Jesus was the perfect representation of who God was in wisdom, in power, because he was in union with God. Look at verse 1. Verse 1 says very directly that the Word was God. The Word was God. He was God incarnate. He was truly God. We just sang this, truly God and truly man. If you want to say 100% God, 100% man, whose natures never commingled, how did that happen? I can't tell you, but he was truly God and truly man. He was the perfect representation. John tells us that from the very beginning, Jesus was there. Jesus was always there. There's never been a time when Jesus wasn't there. Always has, always will be. He was pre-incarnate, and then he became incarnate, the scripture tells us. Notice that verse 2 reiterates verse 1, just because he wants to make sure that you have got it. He was in the beginning with God. That's very important. He's not created. He is begotten. But he was not created. He always has been. Some of you right now are going, Kyle, you're telling me a tale. I don't know if I can believe it. Let me tell you something. Until the Holy Spirit makes you alive, you're going to go, this is a false tale. I'm going to tell you, this is the truest story that there ever has been. I want to tell you that this is the story on which every other story in the world is based on. That we serve a warrior child who grew, and John says he was the perfect representation. Jesus himself said that if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I and the Father are one. He's always been from the very beginning. Notice what verse 3 says. Verse 3 tells us that all things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made. He is the one by which, he is the creative agent by which all of creation came into being. This sounds a lot like Colossians 1, doesn't it? Look at Colossians. Turn over to Colossians, if you will. Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. Verse 16 and 17. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him, visible and invisible. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Folks, do you realize that Jesus was involved in creating everything that is, everything that will be, everything that was? And in him, it all holds together. That means you and I. That means that no matter where you are, no matter what you're going through, Jesus is holding you. You may not even be, he's holding it all together. You may be thinking, I'm about to come apart at the ends. Not until Jesus says, no, it's over. Not until. He is the Word. He is the living Word of God. When God speaks in the Old Testament, there's power. Now then, he has come in flesh with a baby who grows. His name is Jesus, and he is the living Word, and there's power. This warrior child who came to do war against the enemy on behalf of God so that you and I might have life. This is the Logos. This is the Word of God. He was God's Word. Look at Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. We're going to read through part of verse 3. He says, long ago, at many times, in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. In days past, he spoke through the prophets. But in these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son, the Logos. He is the Word, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom he also created the world. Does this sound familiar? He created the world. He's the radiance of the glory of God, the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. Today, I don't have, hey, here are 5 steps. I want you to go and do this. What I want you today is to see Jesus for who he is. He is God. He is the one who is the living Word of God, who came to do battle for our souls. He's it. You know what that says to me? If God would say, if God would put on flesh and come and be the living word of God so that you and I might have eternal life, that no matter where you are today, you are not alone. He is not going to leave you. Do you know how I know that? Because when Jesus went back to earth, went back to heaven, he said, I'm going to send another helper. His name is the Holy Spirit. And you know what he's going to do? He's going to remind you of all that the Logos said. And not only is he going to remind you of that, he's going to help you. Not only that, he's going to inspire people, and they're going to write the word so that you now have not just the living word alive in you, the Holy Spirit. You have the written word. See, there was a battle. There was a rebellion. The Lord God said, listen, I'm sending one who's going to do the fighting. He's going to now die on your behalf. I'm going to bring him back to, he's going to ascend back to heaven. I'm going to send you another helper who not just will be around you, he's going to live in you. Folks, this is huge. Therefore, we as followers, we do not live with wishful thinking. We live with certain hope. You know why? You know why our hope is certain? Because we have a certain Savior. Not only do we have a certain Savior, we have a certain word that tells us he loves us, he desires us, and he is with us. All the other, whether it's secularism, it's false religions, it's world religions that you might study in college, they're all trying to figure out how to earn their way, how to go up the mountain towards God. And the scripture, the living word tells us that God himself came down to us. He came to us because we were without hope. And he brought hope to us. And his name is Jesus. He was the Logos. The second name that he gives us is the life. Not only is he the Logos, the word, he's the life. Look at verse 4. Verse 4 tells us, in him was life. In him was life. John tells us that the Logos, the word of God, is life. Not just that he brings life, but that he is life. He is life. Everything about him is life. John loves to write about this part. You know why John loves to write about this part? Because Jesus loved to talk about it. Jesus helps us to understand. His own words tell us this. Notice with me in John chapter 5, verse 21. Turn over a page. You're in John 1 right now. In John chapter 5, John 5, 21. Jesus is speaking. He says, for as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so also the Son gives life to whom he will. The Son has the power of life because he is life. Notice in John 11, turn over a couple of other pages to John chapter 11. Remember, John loves to talk about life because Jesus loves to talk about life. This John 11 passage is the story of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, where Lazarus, his good friend, has died. Mary and Martha, who are his really good friends, call for him. Jesus waits 4 days. By the time he gets there, Lazarus is dead. Martha hears that he's coming. Martha goes out to meet him. And if you'll excuse me, Martha goes out to meet him. And she says, if you had only been here, Jesus. If you had only been here. Notice what Jesus said in chapter 11, verse 24. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Not a life, but the life. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. This is why Paul said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. This is, folks, I want to say, this is why we talk about evangelism so often. This is why every week I invite people who do not know Christ to come to know him, to come and speak with us. We want to pray with you. We want to talk about it because we believe what Jesus said about this, that if you die without Christ, you are separated. You are choosing death. And Jesus said, from life. And though you die, yet shall you live. But not if you've never surrendered. Not if you've ever, if you've never been a part of the great exchange. Your sin to him, his life to you. Notice in John 14, 6, you don't even have to turn there. John chapter 14, verse 6, you probably already know this. If you don't, I want you to write it down. I want you to see it. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. What was this? When this great rebellion happened, the plan of God, the war plan of God, was to send the warrior child who would come and do battle on our behalf, because we would never win that battle. Why would we never win it? Because it would take a perfect man. None of us are perfect. We were born in our sin. We were born dead in our trespasses and sin, the scripture tells us. He came, he lived a perfect life because he was the living word of God, the Logos. He was the life. He is life. So when he gave his life so that you and I might have life, that brings hope to me each and every day. I don't know what you're facing today. I don't know what you're facing. I have a feeling it's somewhere around relationships or finances. It has to do maybe with death or disease. It could be depression. I want you to know that Jesus Christ, he's the only answer that we have for you today. I promise you, Jesus will walk with you through. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. It's not wishful thinking. It is certain. He is the answer. Some of you are going, there you go, spinning them tall tales. No, I promise you. I promise you. Because his word is true. His word is right. Is without error. And there are thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people who will tell you, he's never left me. He's never forsaken me. He's never lied to me. When I ran away, he never ran. When I'm trying to do battle on my own, I want you to know the battle's already been fought and the battle's already been won. Jesus, John tells us, was the Logos. He was the life. Lastly, it tells us that he is the light. That Jesus is the light. In verses 4 through 9, John spends a lot of time wanting us to be able to see that the light of man came to earth. The light of all men to all men came to earth. He wants us to understand, and John, the Apostle John wants us to make sure and understand. Look at verse 5. Look at verse 5. That this light, it shines in the darkness, and the darkness can't overcome it. Can I stop here for a moment? Whatever dark place that you're in right now, is it depression? Is it addiction to some sort of drug, alcohol, food, sex, porn? Whatever dark place you find yourself in, verse 5 should be something you cling to with all that you have. Is that darkness cannot be overcome by the light of Christ. You may feel like it, and if you feel like I'm about to be overcome, I need you to know that the scripture tells us that we submit to God, we resist the devil, and he will flee. The enemy wants you to believe a lie, just like he did all the way back into Genesis 3. Look at verse 9. Verse 9 says that he was the true light. John says, listen, he was the true light, and he was coming into the world, and that his light is the light that enlightens all. His light is the light that enlightens all. I remember growing up in my little town in Greenville, Texas, and there was a car dealership that we didn't realize it was a car dealership, but they had those like big Batman strobes, you know, like it would just, you'd see it from, I don't care, you may be like 10, 15 miles away, and you'd see these lights going like this. I mean, you know, what did I do as a 16-year-old with driver's license? I'm going to find that light. I'm going towards the light. I want to find it. I didn't care how it was bright. I wanted to go to it. But I want to tell you that Jesus is the light that is brighter, that outshines all lights. He's the light that gives light to light. He is the true light. He's the light that men are seeking and don't even realize they're seeking it. Have you ever looked around at somebody and thought, are they not getting this? They keep doing the same thing, the same thing. They may trade the things that they're trying to find it, they're trying to seek after, but they just keep running. They keep doing this, and you go, you've tried to help them. And they move, and then they keep doing the same thing. You may be going, that's me. Can I tell you that Jesus is the light you're looking for? Jesus is it. Do you know why I know that? Because Jesus said he was. Look at John chapter 8, verse 12. Have you noticed we've not gone a lot out of John today? John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. Look at the next page over, John chapter 9, verse 5. John chapter 9, verse 5. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. I'm going to stay with John, but turn over to 1 John. Not John chapter 1, but go to John 1. It's near the book of Revelation. 1st, 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Jude. You're right in that area. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. Excuse me. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. He says, this is the message that we've heard from him, proclaimed to you, that God is light. The word was, go back to John chapter 1, the word was with God, and the word was God. The word was God. He says, in Jesus, the light of the world, there is no darkness. Folks, again, I have to say this to you. I don't have like step one, step two, step three. I just want you to hear this. If you're not certain what to do today, turn to Jesus. You're looking for hope, turn to Jesus. You feel like you're in a dark plot, turn to Jesus. You're looking for all the self-help books, turn to Jesus. Turn to Jesus. You know why? Because he was the Lord God's battle plan. And when Jesus was born and he let out a war cry, he was the one who defeated all the enemies. He's the one who defeated the great enemy, Satan. Death, hell, separation, everything that came. He is the one who defeated it. I want to point out a very disturbing passage, or a depressing passage, if you will, in the middle of this. Go back to John 1, verses 10 and 11 real quick. Verses 10 and 11 say this. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Okay, you got that? The world was made through him. We already know that because of verses 1 and 2. The world was made through him. He was in the world. Yet the world did not know him. Verse 11, he came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. The one who created the mountains, the one who created the rivers, the one who created the people, Creator stepped into creation. And those that he created, it says, rejected him. They didn't even know him. Y'all ever watched Undercover Boss before? Yeah, you've seen that. Kind of a funny show, isn't it? I mean, the guy, whoever, a guy, woman, whoever it is, it could be a high-rise building or a warehouse. It could be, who knows, but the boss goes undercover because he doesn't want the employees to see them, and he's trying to just see what he joins with them in some way. I mean, it's like pro-style makeup artists. Want to make sure that, just trying to find out what's my company like? What do people think? There's some funny things that happen. Usually it's touching, all those kinds of things. But can I tell you this? Jesus didn't come undercover. The scripture foretold. The religious people knew he's coming. Jesus gets here and he says, I and the Father are one. You've seen me, you've seen the Father. And yet he came to his own, and his own true life. They chose death. True light, they chose darkness. True word, they chose their tradition. Sounds a lot like Genesis 3, doesn't it? God walking with his own creation, and his own creation rebels against him. There's a tree of life, and there's a tree of death. We've walked together in the cool of the day and the cool of the night. I've provided one loving command, and the creation rejected the Creator and chose death. Folks, what we can't do is fall to chronological snobbery and go, if I'd have been there, I don't know, how could they not have seen this? If I'd have been there, I'd have. No, because you know why? Because we've all done it. We've all done it. Yet, by the grace of God, when the Spirit of God, through the Word of God, illuminated, opened our eyes so that true light was seen. The darkness you were sitting in, when true light came, you said, I want that. Not only did you want it, you just surrendered to it. That's what's happening in this room right now. Some of you in here, verses 12 and 13, look at them. I've asked them to put them both on the screen, 12 and 13, because I want you to see this. This is the hope that we have. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. But to all who believed in Jesus, do you realize that's still the same thing today? All who will believe with your heart, you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Logos, that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus is light, that Jesus is life. Jesus, I need you. You will become a child of God by the will of God. Father, I love you, and I'm so thankful for today. Father, I'm thankful that in the midst of my rebellion, you had already had a plan, a war plan for a warrior child. Your scripture says that you demonstrated your love for me, that while I was yet still sinning, Christ died. I was a sinner, and Christ still died for me. Today, I would ask, God, if there's someone in here, several ones, who do not know you as Savior, Jesus, would you save them? And it's in the name of Jesus I ask these things. Amen. I also want to say to you as a follower of Jesus in here today, you've been turning over rocks and stones. You've been trying to find every You've been Googling so many different things. You've been running after all these flashing lights and neon lights and trying to get this thing worked out on your own. You've been thinking, if I do this and this and this, I'll have a better life. Can I tell you, everything you're doing is only found in Jesus Christ. That's the good news for us who have already surrendered to the good news, is that we need to go back to the good news again. Jesus, you're all I need. Today I'm going to ask you to stand. Would you go ahead and stand? Today we're going to close by singing a chorus or two. If you'd like to talk to someone or talk with me or pray with me, I'll be out in the foyer. I'd love to be able to walk with you. Zion, would you lead us, Brian?
Let's sing this together. Oh, come.